For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In this Sean Speaks episode, I get to speak to you from my heart about an important part of parenting, family life, and a parent's mental health and mindset. I want to help you thrive in how you speak to your kids and how you speak to yourself. Sean Speaks is a live teaching I did with a Zoom room filled with my VIP members. It's interactive, it's spontaneous, it's raw and unedited. If you'd like to go deeper with me, visit my website. Common question that we ask ourselves or we ask others is, how you doing? We often love to ask people too, how you feeling? You know, it's a question we don't often ask is, how's your attitude? Well, I want to ask you that right now. If you're here with me live, welcome. Glad you're here. And if you're listening to this recording, well, then let me ask you, think for a second and really ask yourself this question. How is your attitude right now when it comes to your kids, your children? How is your attitude? How's your joy? How's your tone? How have your reactions been? Why do I ask? Because I care. You know, oftentimes during like a sports game, the coach will pull the team over for a timeout or halftime. How's everybody doing? How's it going? But you know what happens is that in life, in hardness, in stress, sometimes our attitude can get in the pits. And we may not even realize it. And then resentment can build, contentment can get in there. And oh my gosh, the attitude, our heart is so key. Because if our heart is wavering, if our heart is building up resentment or negativity towards our kids, oh my gosh, I've been there. We've all been there. Then something can really go wacky. And I want to ask you right now to ask yourself, how's your attitude? Now, if you're here with me live, you are my VIP member, and I want to speak into part of the document that I have right in front of me. I give all of my members this really cool document, and you can see that it asks one of these questions. At the top of, I think, page 16, I invite you to write down some really positive words that you love about yourself and about your personality, things you like about yourself, strengths, gifts. And so you might write down something like, you know, my name is Carla, or my name is Joe, or my name is Stefan, and I am. And then you write in these I am statements, and then people write these really wonderful words because that's really who they are. So people might write words like, you know what, I am insightful, creative, funny, loving, warm, kind, generous, silly, adaptive, gentle, strong, caring, hardworking. These are all words of who we really are. And why parenting is so stupid and so sucky sometimes is that it feels like these kids and the stresses of life and driving them around and their reactions and all that they do, it's just like it can suck the life out of us. And then we end up showing up as these people in our homes who not really who we are. Like, it's like outside the world, you might be this person that we just described, this really great person, insightful, creative, warm, adaptive, caring, strong, but inside your house, you're not showing up for your kids. You're not showing that part of who you are. And I really think it starts with our attitude. I got two really cool stats that I want to share with us. Now, as you know, one of my favorite people to quote is the Gottman Institute. And I have another quote from them. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I got an article in my hand right here that one of the Gottman people named Kyle Jensen wrote, and I want to pick a couple things from this article that I think is really incredible, because what I found after kind of being in the parenting space for 25 years, looking at all the research when it comes to marriage and marriage connection, I've learned so much about parenting from looking at research regarding marriage. I think that really kind of makes sense too, because if you ask like a 7-year-old or a 17-year-old for like a survey or tell you how they're feeling or articulate X, Y, and Z, they're going to have a hard time with that because they're freaking kids. But then if you ask a grown adult to do certain things or express themselves, you're going to get a lot more information. So one of the cool things that, Gottman has done is that they've invented this thing called the Love Lab. Maybe you've heard of it before. And now Kyle, the author of this article, actually works in the Love Lab. I believe it's still going on. And that's how the Gottmans have got a lot of their, knowledge and their stats from science backed is what they're calling it. Is because they created this little like apartment studio in their area, like near Seattle, Washington. And then they would go in there and they would have couples just like spend the night together. And kind of like, you know, one of those cop shows with like a double-sided mirror, they would watch the couples interact, argue, and they would look for little cues and they would like study them from facial reactions to how someone's holding their arms to little things. And then they've given up all this research back, which has really changed my life. And it's changing the world because it's not just theory. It's like, hey, we've seen a pattern here. And so here's what we know. Conflict is going to come up in marriage. All right. People are going to argue about sex. You're going to argue about the dirty laundry, spending too much money. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have conflict in parenting. One of the amazing things that I'm not going to focus on here that I've learned through the Gottman Institute is that the best marriages are not conflict-free. In fact, some of the best marriages they found, they didn't even have good communication in these marriages. We're like, what? That's what I thought it was all about, communication. Well, no, it's not about good communication. It's about these little things that we're going to talk about here right now. So tune in and listen to this and use these tools in your marriage, in your parenting, in your family, in all your relationships, and you'll see your life change. So to understand the difference between happy and unhappy couples, Dr. Gottman and Robert Levinson began doing longitudinal studies of couples back in the 70s. 70s, man, old timers. Yes, science nerds, nerd not on marriage back in the 70s. Oh my gosh. They asked couples to solve a conflict in their relationship in 15 minutes. And they sat back and they watched. Dude, that's what you want. A couple of bunch of nerds studying marriage. Super helpful. Now here we are like many years later, just like enjoying what they did. After carefully reviewing the tapes and following up with them 9 years later, they were able to predict. Look at this. These guys are like freaking, like, they got like a time machine. They can predict the future, predict which couples would stay together and which would divorce over, get this, a 90% accuracy. Man, dude, crystal ball in that life right there. Their discovery was simple. All right. The difference between happy and unhappy couples, here it comes, is the difference, is the balance, excuse me, between positive and negative interactions during conflict. There is a specific number that makes love last. Gosh, what? What is this? Isn't that interesting? Of all the things they could have found, they could have found a bunch of different things. For example, one of their findings say that one of the signs to having a good marriage is that the man, the husband, has somewhat average or above average EQ skills. Partly why I nerd out on this and love doing this is because I'm just trying to help men grow in EQ skills. And most of the things that I have read and learned from my parenting mentors over the 25 years, they are women. And so, yes, if you are a man, listen to this, mad props to you. Keep growing, keep learning. The magic ratio is 5-1. That means for every negative interaction during conflict, a stable and happy marriage has 5 or more positive interactions. I have read other articles and books by the Gottmans, and they've had many couples are up by 20-1. How cool is that? Now, I like how the author phrased this next sentence. Ready? Actually, this is from the OG, Dr. Gottman himself. He writes, when the masters of marriage are talking about something important, like, come on, like, what a beautiful sentence that is. When the masters of marriage are talking about something important, Dr. Gottman says, they may be arguing, they are also laughing and teasing, and they're signs of affection because they have made emotional connections. On the other hand, here comes dark family drama stuff coming up here. Unhappy couples tend to exchange in fewer positive interactions to compensate for their escalating negativity. If the positive to negative ratio during conflict is 1-1 or less, that's unhealthy. and indicates a couple teetering on the edge of divorce. Oh my gosh. So what's a negative interaction? Well, if you've been with me for a while, then you should know. And one of the reasons why I give you this parenting assessment, which I have in my hand right now, is for you to really get to know yourself, really get to know what the heck you're doing, to study your own reactions. A few of the things I'll just read off the list here that you'll have is, you know, acting out, arguing, convincing, cross-complaining, avoidance, blaming, labeling, you language, belittling, poking, broadcasting, criticizing, caretaking, dramatic language, codependency type language, like I need this, I need you, command and control, direct, remind, threats, argue, convince, cross-complain, denial. Oh my gosh, the list goes on. So negative interactions during conflict can also be, the author writes, being just emotionally dismissive, you know, critical, that critical tone, that critical look, that critical little something. It can even be body language, like little eye rolling. It's like, especially like when our kids reach around age 12, for some reason, they get very sensitive to like our negativities, to our attitudes, right? And one hand, that's like their burden. Like they've got to figure out like, yeah, like I can't be perfect here, kid. I can't like, you know, say everything right. Like I come down and say, hey, how's it going? Good morning. What? Why'd you say it like that? Right? It's like, chill the heck out, kid. Like, but what we can do our part to really realize that these kids, especially our most challenging kids, are our gifts. They are like helping us. They are our teachers to see all the little things that maybe we are doing that we don't even realize what we're doing. You know, even like little things we do like body, like with our body, like even eye rolling. All these negative reactions happen in unhealthy marriages too, but they're quickly repaired and replaced with validation and empathy in healthy marriage. So how do we bring this 5-to-1 ratio into our parenting? Well, I started this by talking about our attitude, because this 5-to-1 ratio can be really hard, huh? Can I get an amen on that? Especially with our challenging kids. I can't tell you how many parents have told me, Sean, I have a hard time thinking of 5 positive things to say about my kid. Like my kid is so challenging. My teenager is so challenging, so tough. You know what I love? I love root beer floats. Now, I really don't understand why we don't have more root beer floats in our world, because who doesn't love root beer floats? I think they're the most underrated like dessert ever. I don't get them a lot either, because I don't really think about ordering them, but they're just so good. I feel like every time I have a root beer float, like every time, I'm like, yes. The only problem I have is that sometimes I just keep going, you know, I get more and more and more. I say, I can't stop. When I think about root beer floats, my ratio is way over 5-to-1. Dang it, man. Root beer float ratio for me, it's got to be up there like 50-to-1, positive to negative. Except maybe someone gives me that Barks root beer. It's got that silver. That's not a really good root beer to me. I mean, I have like 2 root beer floats a year. But see that ratio. Think about the things in your life that you have a bond with, a brand, a connection. It's like this. What happens is when these 5-to-1 ratios keep going up and up, you just get that connection. I started, had my first rib like 15 years ago, 12 years ago. I was at my buddy's house. And he was serving ribs. And I was like, what the crap is this? It's so good, Dave. He's like, it's ribs. I was like, I don't think I've ever had a ribs before. I never had a rib before in my life. And my growing up in San Diego, my step parents, we just never had ribs. Or if we did, they weren't good. And I was like, what the heck? These are ribs. So I've been cooking ribs for about 7 years now. And I just got to be honest with you. That is not one of my gifts. No. I got a few gifts in life, probably less than 5. Talking about parenting is definitely one of them. I'm not very good at very much else. And ribs is one of those things I suck at. But I've almost given up cooking the ribs. But that ratio keeps me going. That ratio of like, you know what? That's a good bite, or that's a good. See, that's the thing. Think about this with your kids now. If I were to interview them right now, say, hey, how many positive interactions do you have with your parents versus negative? Like little things. What would their number be? If we were to ask your spouse, what would their number be? How's your attitude? Are you really showing up? I used to be a big time Oakland Raiders football fan, big time. There's a lot of reasons for this, but the ratio was going down. Stupid football team. They kept losing. I don't like the moves. And I just fell out of love with this team. They broke my heart too many times. The ratio was going downhill. And then when they decided to move to Las Vegas, it was like, I've had enough. It's time for a divorce. I left the Raider Nation and I broke up and I picked a new team. I should have picked San Francisco 49ers because that's kind of the more local team here, closest to me. My mother-in-law was a cheerleader for almost a decade for them. I was actually invited to be a co-chaplain for the San Francisco 49ers one time. I declined that invitation, but I picked a different team, the Seattle Seahawks. But you know what? I look at that team, the Raiders, and it was like, you know what? That ratio just wasn't there. Think about all the positive things you have in your life, even your best friend. Your ratio is very high. And here's the thing. We cannot control these children, but we can control ourselves. We can show up with that 5-to-1 ratio, even though they are not, because we're the adults in the relationship. The article going back to the Gottmans, here's a couple of things, little tips of how we could be 5-to-1 ratios. Be interested. Be interested in your kids. Ask some questions. One of the reasons why parenting teenagers sucks so bad, I've been doing it for a long time, is because sometimes they don't really want to answer our questions, right? They blow us off. And then what happens is we feel rejected and we get our buttons pushed. And then we react or we get negative. We're like, my kid needs freaking counseling. We just get sick of like being dumped. That's the thing. Teenagers are like freaking cats. Like they suck sometimes. They're so selfish. They don't even care about us. I freaking have a cat. I love that dude, Kiddo. He's so cute. And I want to cuddle with him and kiss him. But that guy doesn't like me, man. He doesn't like me. At least recently he's getting older, so I'll pet him and I can hear that purring action. That 5-to-1 goes up. I think my ratio with my cat is getting up higher. I would say the ratio with my cat, Kiddo, right now would be probably like 1-to-7. Negative. Not 7-to-1. 1-to-7. One positive interaction with that stupid cat and 7 bad ones. But hey, it's coming upwards. So let's keep going on. Number two is affection. Yeah, affection could just become, especially for younger kids, just means so much to them. Little hugs or side hugs or little kisses, little things. I think with teenagers, one thing I found with a lot of teenagers is they'll be okay with like a side hug. For a lot of reasons, some teens aren't into the full hug, but get that side hug action in there. And then another thing is like, you know, by asking your kids questions, you know what does ascension? It sends a message like, I care about you. I'm interested in you. And so, like, I feel like I get rejected by my two teenagers quite a bit.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It. Not so much my oldest because she's about to turn 19, but there was a couple years in there. It was like, gosh, I was like the thirsty boy trying to ask the freaking girl to the prom and just getting dumped on for a while. But I didn't take it personally. And I was like, you know what? This is it. This is raising teens. Like, I can do this. I can be the adult. I can be loving. I can really keep showing up. Appreciation. 5, just finding positive things to point out in really a cool, appropriate ways. I give a lot of tips for how to really build a growth mindset and to appreciate them and to say positive words for them. Emphasizing with them, that is so key with our kids, whether your kids are 5 or 25, just having that open heart and showing them, validating them. I mean, that is so key. And the more you do that, the more your kids will open up to you. It's just like this awesome revolving door. As long as you do it and you just keep your big mouth shut, they're opening up, telling you about how much their life is hard, X, Y, and Z. And if you can just really stay in that listener role and keep loving and keep validating, keep listening and not teach, not reprimand, not pep talk, not say stupid stuff out of your butt, just really just be there for them. Man, that is such a great way to do that 5-to-1. You'd be surprised at how few words I even say in my home sometimes because, you know, I don't know what to say sometimes, but I do know how to listen and I do want to just really show up as someone who really emphasizes. Now, here is the last thing I want to close with, okay? There was a big research project that was done by Frontiers in Psychology. All right, a bunch of nerds are getting some good stuff out and helping us out. And this is what they found. So I'm going to give you a quiz. And I want you to think in your head, what's the answer to this quiz? All right. So these researchers split school-age children into three groups. All right, three groups. You with me? All right. And they each assigned each of these kids. They were all assigned a number of really difficult tasks. All right. So imagine these three different kids, maybe in different rooms or maybe all at the same times. And you got these kids that are being stressed out because they're trying to accomplish these difficult tasks, right? School age children. So I'm thinking like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, right? I'm imagining that. Now, each group had adult interaction. All right. So they're not up there like, you know, all locked up in some like room by themselves. The adults were coming in to interact with the children and they were encouraged. Each of the groups were encouraged in one of three different ways. All right. The first group was praised on a personal trait. Like, hey, you're a good drawer. Hey, you're good at that. Hey, you're really smart. Right. So they're a personal trait. The second group was praised on effort. Hey, you did a good job drawing. You worked hard on that. All right. And the third group, they were just simply given like a high five. That's it. No talking. All right. I just imagine some like, you know, stoic, big old 6'2" Russian dude. I'm just imagining right now. He didn't shave. His pants are oversized. He's just going up. Maybe he's balding a little bit. He's just giving these kids a high five. That's what I got in my head right now. Okay, of these three groups, which ones do you think the kids responded best to? All right? Because those are 5-1. So these are like positive. They're trying to do the 5-1. They're trying to. All right? You can ask yourself this question or you can. All right? What are the three groups again? Okay, they were group one. Just a little recap. Okay, they were. One was praise on a personal trait. Like, hey, you're a good drawer. You, it's like personal trait in their speaking in their identity. Number two is they were praised on their effort. Like you did a good job or you worked hard on that. And the third group was simply given a high five. Was it by a Russian dude or not? I don't know. I wasn't there. What's your answer? All right, here it is. Ready? The answer is this. Giving a child a high five was by far the best motivator. And the students that received the high fives were the most persistent and kept going despite making mistakes. So everybody, if you're struggling with how to build up your challenging kid because you just find them consistently struggling, learn from this research here that even a simple high five, and I know from being around sports my whole life and still playing sports, that high five, it really is like a human connection unlike any others because it just kind of sends a message like I'm here, I see you. I acknowledge you. I am into what you're doing. I think for us to do this, let me simplify this in conclusion. I think everything we've heard here today, everything I've said just I think comes down to one word. And I think the word is love. I think today's topic was not really about a 5-1 or about a high five. I think today we just talked about love. How do we love our kids? How do we look into our own hearts so we can be loving? Loving a challenging child is really hard. It can really affect our attitudes, you know? And I think some of us, you're really struggling with loving your child. And I don't blame you. I don't judge you. This kid is tough. So, you know what love, true love is showing someone love even when they don't love you back. Showing them love when it's hard to love. So on the surface, what we might be talking about is high fives and positive words, positive interactions. That might be what we're talking about. But I think what we're really talking about is this. How do I become a parent who just fills my own heart with love for my own children? In my family, in my spouse, my partner? How do I fill my bucket? How do I surround myself with other adults who helped me to be more loving? How do I check my heart so I can show up and be the loving parent I want to be?
Parents, thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. I love you and I love your family. If you're sick and tired of those same painful patterns in your parenting or the same painful bad behaviors in your kids, then what are you waiting for? Join me in my VIP membership. I'd love to speak with you and give you the specific tools that you need.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.